Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the baptism of our Lord comes from our gospel reading of Mark. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Thus far the text. Out to the wilderness they all go, all of them, out into the wilderness to find this prophet, dressed in the finest clothes a scavenger could find, dining on the most organic of honey and locust with all of those meaty, big, jumpy legs. He's an eccentric sort of man, to say the least, not the type of man you're going to bring home to mother, not the type that is accepted amongst the more refined of society. He calls the people out into the wilderness, but he only wants the bad ones, the evil ones, the sinful ones, the ones who have something to repent of. If this is not you, then fine, just stay up there in your ivory tower over in Jerusalem, because you aren't going to like what you find out here in the wilderness. The scene was surely a strange one, a type of tent revival, maybe you could say, before modern-day Baptists got their hooks into the thing. Certainly John's wilderness meetings had a better understanding of it. John, he's out there with his leather belt girding his loins, shouting repentance, throwing people in the Jordan for the forgiveness of their sins. And the people come clamoring for it. It's more than then they were just bored and were looking for some sort of weekend entertainment. They went out there for a purpose, a full day's journey from Jerusalem at least, even more if you're coming from those outlying regions of Judea. But this didn't seem to deter the masses. They were going out there to be numbered in this great new washing in the Jordan. And the self-righteous, they came too, surely to take a gander at this spectacle and levy some questions to this strange man who dressed himself to look like a prophet. John calls them to the water too, not that they would ever even dip their toe in, but he calls them nonetheless. He knows something that they don't know. They need this baptism too. They're called to repentance. Confess your sins, he cries out. The time is fast approaching. They would rather not. The self-righteous always have a problem with this whole repentance talk. It makes it seem as if we aren't good enough by ourselves. Makes us see all of the guilt of our sins that we've long since forgotten. Makes us feel the shame that we've so very long ago buried deep down inside so that it can't hurt us anymore. But this is the way of the law. It hurts. It digs up the sins of the past that have been whitewashed over by self-justifying behavior and self-righteous hubris. The law won't waver this way or that so that you can squirm your way out of it. Instead, it just stands there, like an unmovable rock. It either crushes you or you run away from it like some toddler with eyes squinted shut and two fingers firmly pressed into your ears. Repent, John cries. And you can really only do one of two things. Scoff and say that you don't have anything to repent of, or start numbering those sins, if not out loud, at least in your hearts. It amuses me to think that John might have even had some sort of primitive confessional booth set out there in the wilderness with a worn-out camel's smock draped over a tree branch to act as a veil. But more than likely, he probably just proclaimed God's law and let the law do its damning work upon the conscience. No reason to speak all of your sins out loud. It's enough that they well up within your heart and hone the sinner to contrition, the only way that the law can. So what type of man should go out there to the wilderness to see this prophet, to hear this word? The sinner should. And that means everyone should. God's word has a way of working, whether we want to admit it or not. It does what it does by the power inherent within it. The sinner can't help but be moved by the preaching of God's word, either to repentance or to a more hardening of the heart. It doesn't matter either way. God's still at work, and God always does get his man. So what should I confess? The sinner asks. Your sin. Yeah, that one. You know the one I'm talking about. The one that digs at your soul and keeps you up late at night. The one that, after committing it, brings more shame upon your neighbor than it does upon you. The one that you confessed last time. Yeah, confess that one once again. Because we all know that you haven't been able to hang it away in your closet, never to wear it again. Confess that sin. Confess the other ones too. While you're at it, just confess all of them, even if you can't remember them. Confess them all. Just stand there naked before your God. Stop pretending that your homemade fig leaf garments are covering any of your shame. Be repented. Be repented by the preaching of the word. So now what? The people asked John. Don't just leave us here naked. Don't leave us here wallowing in the despair of our utter depravity. Now what do I do? Now where do I go? Into the water with you, John exclaims. Into the water. Quick, down to the Jordan. Let's get you all cleaned up. Let's get those sins washed off of you. But which sins are those, the people exclaim? Which sins are going to be washed away? Which sins are going to be forgiven? That one. Yeah, you know the one. The one of your nightmares, except it's not a nightmare. It's real life. That sin gets washed away. And the one against your neighbor that you all but forgot about, but still hangs heavy over his head, that one too is washed away down the raging waters of the Jordan. And the one that got washed away last week but found its way back to you again, let's wash it clean once again. Yes, for the millionth time. And the one that brings you shame. For shame too is no match for these raging waters. Shame is remitted along with everything else. In fact, you know what? Just bring them all down here to the river. It's time that you're forgiven of them, all of them. Yes, even the ones that you don't remember. Even the ones that you do and wish that you didn't. The great ones and the small ones. The egregious ones and the trivial ones. Into the water with you. Into the water with all of them. What a sorry sack of sinners John must have found down there at the river. But of course, that's exactly what he wanted down there. The water is the place for sinners. For the water is where sinners are numbered. If you want to find a sinner, go to the water. There they are, standing there in the turbulent water, watching the filth of their sin and shame be washed off of them. All of it just melting away into that dirty water. All of them forgiven. All of them washed clean. All of them repented. And now it's not so much a crowd of filthy sinners congregated at the shore, but a multitude of forgiven sinners banded together under the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of their sins. Because the water is where the sinner goes to be numbered. And in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now there is an even stranger sight to behold. For this is the man whose sandal straps even the great John the Baptist isn't worthy to untie. Here is the all-grown-up Christ child of Bethlehem. Come down to the Jordan River to be buried under that sinner water. But the Christ needs no baptism, not in the Jordan and not anywhere else. This Jesus of Nazareth is the one man that doesn't have to go out into the wilderness to hear the Baptist's call to repentance. This Jesus doesn't need to confess this sin or that one to have that sin forgiven or this one washed away. This Jesus doesn't need any of this, doesn't even need to be here, surrounded by worthless sinners who do need John and who do need his baptism. But this Jesus hasn't come into this world so that he could be wrapped up in the heavenly bubble, born into a lowly stable with smelly shepherds gaping all around. Jesus made his entrance into this fallen creation. Right there, it should tell you straight away that this Jesus is about a sort of business that the sinner can never fully understand or comprehend. For it isn't enough that God would walk amongst sinners. He has to do it in the flesh. He's one of you. Don't you see? More human than human. More human than you could ever imagine. God is man just as it should be, just as it must be. For this is the salvation of God in the flesh of the man Jesus. So where's Jesus to go now? All grown up and ready to begin his way to the cross. Into the water with you, Jesus. That's right, down to the River Jordan, next to all of those sinners flailing around at the shore. Into the water with you. Come now, the time is at hand. Time to accomplish what you came here to do. Into the water. It's a dirty water baptism for you, Jesus. Filth and muck and mire and drudge. Sin and shame and the stench of death. Into the water with you. It's time for you to be numbered. Time for you to be numbered with the sinners. Time for you to clothe yourself with their very sinful and fallen nature. Because if you're going to make your way to the cross to forgive all of your sin, their sins, then you've got to bring them all along with you. They can't just stay here in the water for them to go and wash themselves dirty again. You're going to have to take them away. You're going to have to become one of them. You're going to have to be numbered along with them. And as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being opened. The veil that had once separated heaven and earth is now ripped asunder. Here a foreshadowing of what would take place as the veil in the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. While the numbered with sinners, Jesus cries out with his last breath, "It is finished." God is now with his people in this dirty water baptism. He's one of them. And the Spirit then descends down upon him, anointing him to be the Christ, anointing him to be the Messiah, the King of sinners. Out of the water with you, Jesus. It's time to head to the cross. But not before the Father's voice booms down from heaven, declaring, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Beloved, because you've come to save my people from their sins. Beloved, because you've come to accomplish everything that must be done. Beloved, because you have come to forgive those filthy sinners that I love so much. And I'm pleased with you, Son. I'm pleased with you because you are one with them. You are one of them. You are numbered with the sinners. And that's the whole reason I sent you." Dirty water baptism, not yours. Yours is a clean water baptism that washes you free from any stain, forgives your sin, and numbers you with Jesus. No, the dirty water baptism is his, and in it, he numbers himself with you. In the name of Jesus.